guess we'll preach for a minute. If you've got your Bibles with you today,
I ask you to find a place in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. And if you are here this morning and you have been washed in that blood, then God's got something for you this morning, I believe. Ephesians chapter number 5, and we'll begin our reading in the first verse and read down through the 14th verse, and from there we'll find the thought that God wants us to preach on this morning, and hopefully be a blessing to you. Ephesians chapter number 5, if you want to stand, you can do that at this time. You can read along with us. And then keep your Bible open. We'll return to this chapter through the remaining portion of the message. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ hath also loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, or unclean person, or covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And I want you to place a mental bookmark at verse number 8, because that's where we're coming back to. Paul said, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. And here it is. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whosoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Father, thank you for this word of truth. Thank you for this opportunity to share it. Help us in the next few moments, we pray. Encourage us, strengthen us, and challenge us by thy Holy Spirit. We pray in your name, and amen. You can be seated. Over the past couple weeks, we have been talking on Sunday mornings about New Testament commandments. In John chapter 13, we are commanded to love each other as Christ has loved us. And we preached on the law of love. In Galatians chapter 5, we are commanded to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And last Sunday, we preached on the law of liberty. This morning, we find another New Testament commandment, and it is given to us in verse number 8. Jesus said through the Apostle Paul that you were sometimes darkness. That's talking about before we were saved. Before that blood we just rejoiced in was applied to our life, before we were saved, we were darkness. But through the power of salvation, we are given the light of the Lord, Paul says in verse number 8. And because of that, here's our next commandment. Walk as children of light. Paul tells the Ephesian church that they are to walk as children of light. Like before, this is not a suggestion. This is not a tip. This is not something that you should consider. This is a commandment given to every believer. God is commanding us to walk as children of light. I thought about this according to John chapter number 1. When Jesus came into this world, he came as a bright light shining in the midst of darkness. John said in 1 John 1 and chapter 1 verse 4 and 5, it said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. John said that in this world it was filled with darkness. But when Jesus was born in Bethlehem's manger, He was a bright light shining to this world. Jesus would later say of himself in John chapter number 8 and verse number 12, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus again describes himself as being a light shining in the darkness. Can I say this morning that this world is in darkness? The world was in darkness in Jesus' day. But when Jesus came to this world, everywhere he went, he was like a light shining to the world in the midst of their darkness. The way that he walked before them gave them light. The words that he spoke to them gave them light. The way that he treated others gave them light. In the darkness, the world saw a glimmer of light, and they saw it in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, just as Jesus was light to this dark world, you and I should be a light to the dark world that we are living in today. Jesus said during his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 14, he said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You see, just as Christ was a glimmer of light to the dark world, you and I should be a glimmer of light, a glimmer of hope, a glimmer of God to the dark world that we are living in. When you are saved, God shines His light inside of you. You know, when you get saved, it's almost like somebody turning on a light switch. You see things you never saw before. You live a way you never lived before. You're not walking in darkness anymore. God shone a light in your life. Just like He put His love in you, He put His light in you. And you and I have been called upon with that light to walk in it. Walk in that light. Paul said to the Ephesian church, walk as children of light. Just as Christ was light, you are to be light. Now let me ask you a question just to get started this morning. And I want you to think about this question through my sermon. The question is this. If this world does not see Christ in you and in me, then how are they going to see Him? You see, people are stumbling in the darkness of sin, not realizing that the path they are on is a downhill path that leads to destruction. But you and I, as the children of God, have a light that we can shine into their lives. We can show them the right way, the right path, the way that leads to God. This means that you and I, shining the light of Christ, could determine heaven or hell for somebody that we come in contact with. No wonder Paul commands, walk as children of light. You see, you walking as a child of light will determine someone's eternity. This morning I want to preach for a few minutes out of Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6. And in these two chapters, Paul will tell us what it means to walk as children of light. I've broken it down into three categories. I want to give them to you quickly. I want to preach this morning on the thought, the law of light. The law of light. Number one, if we are going to walk as children of light, we are going to have to be receptive to the Spirit within. We must be receptive to the Spirit within. Paul said in verse number 10 of chapter 5, proving what is acceptable, and I would highlight that word acceptable, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and mark these words, have no fellowship. So in verse number 10, he tells us what's right, and in verse number 11, he tells us what's not right. Verse 10, prove what is acceptable. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Beginning in verse number 1 and going all the way down through verse number 20, Paul teaches us what the first step in walking in light is. The reason that I read these two verses is because they could do a good job of summarizing verse 1 through verse 20. Paul is telling the church that if they are going to be children of light, If they are going to walk in the light, then that means they must first of all have a right relationship with the Spirit of God that is within them. They must submit to the Spirit and they must shun the world. And if we do not submit to the Spirit and we do not shun the world, then it will be hard for us to shine the light of Christ. I'm going to say something right here. It is difficult to be a light to those around you when you are not right with the Spirit inside of you. Hey, if you're not right on the inside, then you can't shine the light to those that are on the outside. Paul begins this chapter by telling them to have no fellowship with the works of darkness. That makes sense because if you and I act like the world that we are living in, if we have the same talk, the same walk, the same act that they have, then how in the world are they going to see Christ in us? How can they see a difference in you? And how can they see a difference in me if there is no difference? And in our life, do you know what that does? That sin in our life is like a little dims out the light of Christ that should be shining in our lives. Old car at the house, it's a Toyota RAV4 and it's got about 1,000,000 miles on it. And it was mine and then it was Mallory's and now it's Caroline's and she couldn't be any more excited. But Brother Scott, because the car has a little age on it, you know something I've noticed? The headlights on the front, just from years of use and wear and tear and road debris and stuff getting out, you know what's happened to them? They've kind of become dim. They're not really clear anymore. They used to be, when come off the factory floor, it used to be perfectly clear, those headlights were. But now they're not as clear as they used to be because of all that use and all that road debris. You know what's happened? The light still shines inside of that headlamp, but the light doesn't come out as bright on the outside of that headlamp because it's been covered over with a film. Do you know what happens to the child of God as we allow sin to come into us? That light is still inside of us. Christ is just as bright as He ever was. But because of years of sin and muck and mire that we put ourselves in, that light does not shine as brightly on the outside as it did when we were first saved. Paul tells us that if we are going to walk as children of light, then there are some things we're going to have to stay away from because they dim our light. Now, I don't have time to talk about this in depth. I've got to move on. But Paul begins the list beginning in verse 3, some things that will dim the light of Christ in your life. He says that sexual sins in verse number 3 will dim the light of Christ. He mentions fornication and uncleanness in verse number 3. Can I say this just quickly in passing without being too gross? This world that we're living in has gone crazy when it comes to sexual sins. They have gone absolutely crazy. But the child of God has to be different. The child of God has to remain pure. The child of God must remain true to the scriptural truth of marriage and of love. And as the world goes crazy, our light can shine when we hold true to purity in marriage. Oh, yes. Oh, he mentions covetousness in verse number 3. Covetousness is a sin that's not too different than the sexual sins mentioned in verse 3. It is uncontrolled desire, just like fornication and uncleanness is. It's when you can't control yourself. One is the lust of the flesh and the other is the lust of the eyes. But they are akin one to another. They are close to one another. Oh, I'll say this, and I believe you'll agree with me. This world is a greedy place. This world will chew you up and spit you out to get what they want. But Jesus said, you and I have to be different. Jesus said, it's better to give than receive. Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. The Apostle Paul told the Roman church to prefer one another above themselves. You see, the world is covetous. The world is greedy. But we must be different. Oh, yes. He mentions the sins of the tongue in the next verse, verse number 4. He said, filthiness and foolish talking and jesting is what he mentions in verse number 4. You see, if you can't control your body, it's going to be hard for you to control your tongue. Is that not right? If you can't control your body, you can't control your mouth. And I'm going to say this, and I believe I'm right. Don't get too upset with me. But unfortunately, I believe that it is with the tongue that most Christians destroy their testimony in front of this world. We must not allow these things to dim the light of the Holy Spirit that is within us. In fact, Paul sums it up in verse 5, 6, and 7 and says, "For you know this, that no whoremonger or unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things, the sin that he just mentioned, cometh the wrath of God on the children of disobedience." And he said in verse 7, and be not therefore partakers with them. Don't have any part in any of the things that he just mentioned. If we're going to let our light shine, we must not grieve the Holy Spirit with these sins on the inside. Oh, I need to say this and hurry along. But the opposite of this is found in verse 15 through 20. You know what he said? He said, if you want to be right with God, you need to walk circumspectly. You can find it in our text, walk circumspectly. That word circumspectly means careful. It carries the idea of being ready. It means a Christian cannot live the Christian life carelessly. You are going to have to get up every day with the determination in your heart, I will live for God today. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. He said in another passage, I die daily. You know what he was saying? Every day I make the determination, I will live for Christ today. I'm going to tell you something, friend. You can't wing it and live for God. You can't just say, well, I'll do my best. I'll get recharged on Sunday and I'll make it through the week. No, 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 no. If you will walk in Christ, if you will shine your light, you will have to make a decision every day. Walk circumspectly, he said. Redeem the time. That carries the idea of being ready again, but it's a little different. Redeem the time pictures a ship that uses the wind to its sail to guide it into a shore. It means take opportunities. Take opportunities when you get them. Use that wind that God gives you. It means that we should serve Christ and we should show Christ. We should share Christ. We should take every opportunity to give Christ to someone else because the opportunity may not come again. Oh, yes. He said, understand what the will of the Lord is. That means discover God's will for your life through prayer, through study, through meditation, through worship. He said, be filled with the Spirit. Verse 18, I believe it is. Be filled with the Spirit. That's the key to all of this, because when we are full of the Spirit, we don't have room for the filth of the flesh. Have a joyful heart, he says in the next verse. He said, speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Make melody in your heart. You see, the child of God that has a happy heart will be more likely to share Christ with others they come in contact with. And finally, he said, be thankful. You see, gratitude is one of the most powerful motivators in the world. The more grateful you are toward God, the more your light shines to the world. If you're going to walk in the light, the first step you're going to have to take is to be right with God on the inside. And you'd be amazed how many Christians are trying to live the Christian life on the outside, but they are not right with God on the inside. And it doesn't work, friend. If we are going to walk the Christian life, if we're going to let our light shine, number one, we must be receptive to the Spirit within. Number two, not only must we be receptive to the Spirit within, but number two, we must be right with the saints without. We must be right with the saints without. Look at verse 21. Paul said, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. I find the transition of our chapter very interesting. We normally look at the end of the chapter, beginning in verse 21, and think about it as being separate and independent, because Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 21 through the rest of the chapter, is probably the greatest passage in all the Scriptures in regards to a Christian marriage. And we think of this passage as independent and all on its own. But in truth and in reality, our subject has not changed. Paul is still talking about living as children of light, walking in the light. And therefore, he tells us at the beginning of the chapter, if you're going to walk as children of light, be right with the Holy Ghost inside. And then at the end of the chapter, he transitions and says, not only are you going to have to be right with the Holy Spirit inside, but you're going to have to be right to the people that are around you on the outside. It's sad to say, but I have met some men and some women that seemingly are always in conflict with somebody. They are fighting with somebody today, somebody else tomorrow, and somebody else next week. And they are in constant conflict with those around them. They're full of drama, full of trouble, and yet at the same time, they name the name of Christ. Amen? It should not be that way. Watch this now. Paul said, if you're going to be right with the people on the outside, he said, first of all, you're going to be right in your marriage. That's what he says in chapter 5, verse 22 down. He said, you're going to be right in your marriage. 22, wives, submit yourself to the husband. We all know that. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives. You see, Paul said, if you're going to be in a right relationship, it's going to start inside of your home, husbands and wives. You cannot be a light to the world around you if you are not a light to your spouse at home. Somebody said, home is the place where treated the best and complained the most. I wish I had all morning to preach on marriage, and I may do that sometime. But I feel like I need to say this. Sir, ma'am, the first line of your ministry must be to your spouse. Amen. Jesus describes the marriage relationship as the relationship between Christ and the church. This means that our homes should model the relationship of Christ and the church. That means this. When your spouse looks at you, they should see the light of Christ. And if your spouse can't see the light of Christ, you're wasting your time trying to let other people see the light of Christ. That's what we call in the South a hypocrite. You say, well, I don't know about that, preacher. Show me that in the Bible. I'm glad you asked. I wrote it down just in case you did. Peter, writing to the church about marriage, says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 6 and verse 7, he said, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughter you are as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement, likewise your husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel and being heirs together with the grace of life. There it is. The wife is in the right place. The husband is in the right place. And he said that your prayers, verse 7, that your prayers, verse 7, that your prayers be not hindered. You say, what's that mean? That means, sir, if you're not right with your wife, you're not right with God. Amen. Ma'am, if you're not right with your husband, you're not right with God. And you can't convince me or the Apostle Peter otherwise. You see, your first line of ministry must be to your home. When they see you, do they see Jesus Christ? You see, that's the toughest place to be, a light, because that spouse knows you better than anyone else does. They know your goods and they know your bads. We see the face you put on Sunday, but they see the face you have when you come home on Monday. Paul said, if you're going to be right, you're going to be right with the Spirit inside, and then you're going to be right in your marriage. Not only are we going to be right in our marriage, we're going to be right in our family. He said in chapter 6, verse 1, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Verse 4, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You see, Paul, after he writes about the marriage, writes about the family. Children are to be in obedience to their parents, and parents are to deal properly with their children. Let me rephrase something I said just a minute ago. It is not possible for a child to be right with the Lord and not be right with their parents. You're not right in the relationship with God and you're in rebellion at home. It doesn't work that way. Paul said, children, be obedient to your parents and the Lord. He's giving us a commandment there. The same commandment that Moses gave in the book of Exodus. God gave it to him in chapter 20. Therefore, a child is to let their first ray of light shine inside of the home. And a parent is to let their light shine inside of a home. Oh, he goes on to say, and I got to move on, but he goes on to say, not only are you going to be right with those without first in your marriage and next in your family, but finally you're going to be right in your jobs. Verse 5 through 7. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Our light should be seen even in our place of work. Employees should work diligently for their employers. Employers should treat their employees fairly. Although each of us work for a company or an individual, we must always remember we ultimately work for Christ. It's interesting that these three areas are not the areas we picture when we think about letting our light shine. But according to our text, our brightest light does not shine at church on Sunday. It does not shine during the week at revival. It does not shine out in the community on visitation. But our brightest light shines in our homes and in our marriages and on our jobs. And if we're going to be a light to this world, it must start there. We'll be right. We'll be receptive to the Spirit within. We'll be right with the saints that are without. And finally, number 3. We'll be ready for satanic war. We'll be ready for satanic war. He said in chapter number 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Sooner or later, every believer is going to discover that the Christian life is a battlefield, not a playground. We face a spiritual enemy that is much stronger than we imagine. This enemy wants to destroy you. He wants to put out your light. Therefore, Paul says in the closing section, we must be ready and we must be equipped. I'm realizing more and more the spiritual battle that we are fighting. I'm realizing more and more that the things that I face and the things that I see church members face are a direct onslaught of Satan. It is no coincidence when someone comes into your life that should not be there, that hurts your relationship in the marriage, in the home, in the job, and Satan strategically puts that person in your life because he wants to destroy you. It is no surprise to me when something comes into our life that has no business being there. It should not be there. It is a detriment to us. It diminishes our lot. It is an attack of Satan. It is no surprise. I'm even learning this, Brother Scott. It is no surprise when even something comes into our mind that becomes a stronghold inside of our mind that should not be there. It is the devil in hell trying to destroy you. You see, God wants your light to shine, But there are three enemies that you fight that do not want your light to shine. It is the world, the flesh, and the devil. And if the world and the flesh and the devil have their say, your light will go out. Paul says the only way that you can win this battle is to prepare for it. Paul says you need to gird yourself with truth. Paul says you need to clothe your life with righteousness. You need to prepare yourself with the gospel. You need to shield your life with faith. You must protect your mind with salvation. And most importantly, you have got to read your Bible and you have got to pray. Because they're the only weapons you have to fight with. Can you imagine a soldier going out on a battlefield without a weapon? Do you think the United States military would send one of our men or one of our women out into the midst of a fight and not give them a weapon, not give them body armor, something to protect them and something to fight with? But do you know what we do as the children of God? We walk onto the battlefield with a spiritual enemy and we are naked spiritually speaking. We have no weapon to fight with because we have not read our Bible and we have not prayed that week. And it is no wonder we are destroyed by the devil. We are not prepared to fight him. Paul said, you better be prepared. You better be prepared. I'll say this and I'm done. This world needs you to shine the light of Christ to them. Your family needs you to shine the light of Christ to them. Your spouse needs you to shine the light of Christ to them. It'll be a fight to do it, but it's a worthy fight. I want to take you back to a verse I read at the beginning of the message. It's in Matthew chapter 5, and I want to add two verses to it. Jesus said in verse 14, you're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I ask you this morning as I close, how's your light? Is it shining as bright as it should? Or is there something within, something without, or maybe something you faced in the war that has caused your light to be diminished? It is our duty to walk as children of light. And I wonder, as we have a verse of invitation, Brother Scott, I wonder, how's your light? Maybe you want to come pray about something the Holy Spirit has shown you. Maybe you want to just come pray and say, God, let my light shine brighter than ever. Let me be a witness to somebody that I come in contact with. But whatever your need is, if you have something you need to pray about, while he sings, you come.